Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, sing.
Call a friend,
let them know that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air. Well, we're getting ready to go before the Lord God Almighty, and we want you to invite you to come and go with us before the throne. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you so much, God, for being the I am that I am. Thank you, God, for being the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Thank you for being the Alpha and Omega. Thank you for being the first and the last, the true and the living God. Today, Lord God, we thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you, God, for bringing us this forth by faith. And, Father, we ask you, God, to touch the lives of those that are in our radio audience. Father, encourage their heart. Meet every need. Those that are not saved, save. Those that need delivery, deliver. God, those that need to be made free, God, make them free. And Father, we ask thee this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Today, we're going to be speaking on the topic, the effects of spiritual problems. The effects of spiritual problems. Again, you are listening to the Crossroad broadcast, and yes, we are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. As we think about the effects of spiritual problems, we think about the attitude of pride, which often leads to more pride. Then we think about a sin, which stimulates more sin. It roused to action affects as by encouraged by pleasure. When we think about these are some things that we want you to think about today, and also legalism, which breed more of the same, which is excessive use of law of God in order to achieve salvation, maintain salvation by good work. So that is something that we want for you to just think about today as we talk about the effects of spiritual problems. And then we want to look at when a person is walking in pride, most times they are self-sufficient. I can do it myself. I don't need anybody else to help me. I'm in this alone. And so, therefore, we have to look at the person has a problem with pride. They are people that need to humble themselves before the Most High God. For the Word of God say, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way. The Word of God said that he will hear from heaven. He said that he will forgive the sin and he will heal the land. So therefore, we have to watch this self-sufficiency. Also, which tells us about distorted values. Where is our values? Values is great. Values is good. But we don't want our values to be distorted. We don't want them to be from misunderstanding. And we don't want it to come from selfishness, and we don't want it to have be in a theological type error, and also a non-biblical type of thinking. So when we think about the effects of spiritual problems, it's great that we have people that are saved, that they are born again, their life has been drastically changed. But there are some principles, there are some things in our lives that we need to have God to examine us, and we need to examine ourselves so that we will not live according to our own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith. So there are people, as we say, they have this distorted type kind of values. And we want to be able to not have values that so out of line with God's word. You know, sometimes we get people that at work and we have people around us, and the value is distorted. We remember some time ago when at the university there were some people that was involved, people that on leadership type roles, and people that was in charge, but yet their values, if there wasn't good value, these value was distorted because of some things that they stood for, those things that they did. Some of these things was predators. These are dysfunctional type of values that people have. And whether or not you say you think that's right or good, what is it compared to the word of God, when the word of God come against some of the things that we stand for when it's not right? Because we see that when people that are in leadership, those people that have been given a level of authority, we expect them to have good values. We expect them for their values not to be distorted. Also, when we look at people, and we know this from working. I don't know how long you have worked, whether you ever worked, but you ran around people. If it wasn't at church, it wasn't in the marketplace, it wasn't people that's close connected to you, you see that there are some people that have a clear misunderstanding of things. If you don't have clear understanding, then you can cause separation of chief friends. You can separate people all around you, not only on your in your family, but it could be in the church. It could be in your on your job. It could be in so many ways that it can be distorted. So therefore, we need to make sure that we do not have a misunderstanding of things the way that they're supposed to be. Sometimes we can have a misunderstanding and we think things are the way that it seems like that's the way it should be. And you deem it correct, but indeed it is so off balance with the word of God and so off balance with things of this life. So some people have that theological error wherein they have not really studied the word of God, and they are erring. The word of God says clearly to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. Word of God say we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. He said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. So therefore, if we can only pray, ask God to give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding of God's word, that we don't lead ourselves in the wrong direction. And because we're leading ourselves in the wrong direction, we will lead other people in the wrong direction as well. Why? Because we don't have a clear understanding of God's word. we are talking about the effects of spiritual problems. And when we also think of non-biblical thinking, sometimes when it is not biblical, it is not in the Word, and we are trying to come up with our own righteousness, establish life on our own righteousness instead of the righteousness of God, which is by faith, then we are in great error. We can't think the way. See, our mind, is when we're not in the Word of God, many times our mind is not the mind of Christ. So therefore, we're thinking non-biblical. If it was biblical, if it was according to the Word, then we would know these are the things that our life should be able to line up with. So our lives should line up with the Word, line by line, and precept by precept. But when we think about people, we think about the time of the day that we're living in, we see that people lie. And some of the things that we have been discussing on today, they are like creeping vines that keep getting larger, and they are better able to squeeze the life, the business out of our spiritual lives. And they're that they are struggling to stay alive. So therefore, when we look at this correctly, we see when we're out of line with the Word of God. As a Christian counselor, I can tell you that we need to focus, base our lives upon the Word of God, upon those things that are right, those things that God has given us for direction. For the Word of God says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he said that he will direct our path. So if we don't take heed to the Word of God, our lives will be like creeping vines. These things will eventually squeeze us to death, squeeze the life out of us, because of the fact that it's not lining up with the Word of God. It's not lining up what the Word of God says. And then we think of how it affects us. Well, it will affect us. It affects us. It has our spiritually. It has a spiritually effect upon us. When spiritual problems are left unchecked, they can lead to a compromising, sinful behavior. And I think that being worthy of me saying that again, spiritual effect. When spiritual effects, when they are outlawed, when they're left unchecked, they can lead to compromising and sinful behavior. And that just let us know, when we see people that are in leadership, whether they are the CEO of the company, whether they're or the president, vice president, whether they're the secretary, whatever it may be, they may be the chairman of the deacon board. They may be the head usher. They may be in a prominent position on their job in a secular arena. But when things are unchecked in your life, it can lead to a compromising, sinful behavior. And as we began to talk about the man that had an awesome, great job and an awesome responsibility, because he had the lives of people in his hands. I mean, every day he had the opportunity to be able to work with young men, and it was up to him to be able to give them clear, righteous direction. But when we're out of step, when we're out of line with the Word of God, then we can begin to compromise because of the fact, well, you're not in full agreement with the Word. You're not hearing God. The Word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when we're not hearing God, when we're not praying, prayer bridges the gap between heaven and earth. When we're not praying, there's a gap between you and God, not just your God, because it's not but one God. But I'm saying when we're not praying, when we're not seeking the face of God, there is a gap there, which causes us to compromise and to act in a sinful way. And this individual, this person, whatever morals that he had, he lost most of all his morals because of his behavior and his mentality, and his soul got out of place or was not in place with God. You see, when we are not righteous and live according to God's righteousness, we are liable to say anything, do anything, behave in any manner that we will, and be not responsible for it because of the fact first we began to compromise with ourselves, compromise with the ways that you may have been brought up, and you say, well, that's okay. I can do it this time. I can think this way. I can treat this person this way. But when you begin to really think about it, you're moving and you're in a sinful behavior. And it tends to give us an increasing tendency to especially if you are in the church, or you're in a position in the church where you're a member. And I never really like to say that people are just a member, because that is not right. What most people would say, well, I'm just a member. You're an important member of the body of Christ. So some people, when they deem themselves not to be important or worth anything or mean anything, they are getting into other areas and begin to compromise, then they begin to have a tendency, if they were going to church regularly, then they have a tendency to begin to miss service. And then and they have this personal devotion to things that they want to do. It is also a decrease in sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, which would lead or control them. So here we see that we must be sensitive, and it should not decrease, but it should increase the things of God and our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. So because the Holy Spirit would lead and guide and direct our path if we allow it to do so. When we began to look at people, when they're out of the will of a Father, then that's when we find people that are living a hypocrite type of way. That's when you find the hypocrite and the phonies in the workplace, in the schools, which is the workplace, which is also the church. However, you may find people they just may be phonies. They're living something that is not truthful. They're pretending, and they are not actually standing or living according to God's truth. Well, you find them living a life of hypocrisy. And so that is not a good thing when you're not real, when you're only pretending. There's a song say that the world is song was, I think, on, that said something about I'm only pretending. Well, we don't, in many ways, we want to not to be a hypocritical a person, a phony, and pretend in this life, because we don't want to pretend that we're saved. We don't want to pretend that our life has been made free. God is not looking to use people after that they will not conform to the things of God, and continually live in a state of wickedness when the word of God says to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Spirit. So therefore, we have to be our minds mentally, physically, spiritually, most of all, has to be changed. We can't conform to the things of this life. We can't be a part of them. Yes, we are in the world, but we can't be a part of the things that your neighbors may be doing or your associates may be doing, but we must let our lives line up with the word of God. Sometimes when people are out of the will of the Father, there's a boredom that takes hold. Now, I'm bored. I don't want to sit here and hear the pastor preach. He preached that message about a month ago. She preached that message 2 months ago. Or I heard this, the same message on the network, and I don't want to hear this, or I don't want to go to church because I'm getting bored. Well, we can clearly see that the enemy is after you. The word of God says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. We cannot rely on ourselves. We got to rely most of all on Christ Jesus. When we can rely on Christ Jesus and know that it is Christ, not us, then we can be more self-confident in Christ that makes us confident. I like what Paul, the Apostle Paul, said. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. I believe that's in Galatians, and it may be Galatians 2 and 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is the Christ that lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. So therefore, our reliance and his reliance was on Christ Jesus. Now, in order for us to be kept, we need to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. We need, there are nine of them, by the way. And the first one of them is love. The word of God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm still talking about how to walk effectively in the word of God and about the effects of spiritual problems. When we don't have the love of God, then we can move into that area of self-reliance, boredom, hypocrites, the hypocrisy, phoniness, not sensitive to the things of the Holy Spirit. The second one is joy. The Bible says that the joy, I'm talking to you as a Christian counselor, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength, is one of the second fruits of the Spirit. When we can walk in joy, when we can have joy, that joy, Christ's joy in us will give us strength. And then the third one is peace. God will give us that peace that surpasses our understanding. He let us know if we keep our mind upon him, he said that he will keep us in perfect peace. Somebody's saying, oh, I need some peace. If I just had some peace, all I need is a peace of mind, just a little bit of peace. Well, I'm telling you today that if you keep your mind on Christ Jesus, if you begin to get closer and closer to him, your mind, you'll begin to have the mind of Christ. And then that fourth one is patience. We need God and patiently to walk in us, to lead God and direct us. But we must be willing to wait on him, to wait on him and to be of good courage. Because when we can wait on him, that he will give us the desire of our heart. If we ask, believe in him, standing on his word. Well, what do you say faith is? Well, the word of God says now faith, but that's what we want. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we need God to live in us so we can patiently wait upon him. And when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, we think about kindness. The Bible tells us to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even for God, for Christ, they have forgiven us. How many people can say I'm kind? How many of you can say that it is not me, but it's a Christ that lives within me? How many people can say, can actually with honesty, can say I'm kind, that I'm not mean and I'm not hateful and I'm not, and I'm easy to get along with? We need God to make us kind, that we know how to speak to people, that we know how to embrace them, that we know how to treat them in a way that we want to be treated. And then we think about goodness. Only goodness comes from God. Only when we, the goodness of God is in operation, will be in operation in our lives. Because it's not us, but it's the Christ that lives within. Because there is none good but Christ. But the goodness of God will operate in us so that we can be effective in our life, so we don't have spiritual problems. And then faithfulness. Faithfulness to God, number one. Anything that we say, it ought to be to God first. We need to be faithful to God. Faithful to God. God will be faithful to us. A lot of times we will miss some of these bumps and humps and all the things that we go through in life because of our faith and our consistency with Christ. Being faithful to him. Faithful in our prayer. Faithful in our worship. Lord to him. Faithful in anything and everything that we do to the Master. and to things that God has given to our assignment. What is your assignment? Are you faithful to the assignment that God has given you? And then that eighth one is gentleness. How gentle are you? We need to be gentle. You can ask your own self the question, am I gentle? You know, am I so rough with people? Am I gentle with others? Am I gentle with myself? Am I gentle to God? You know, God wants us, there's a way that we can present ourselves before God. And there's and that way should be a way of righteousness in everything that we do. Sometimes we can be so abrupt to people and so unkind to people and what we say and how we say it and how we treat people. And the way that we treat people many times, it's going to come back on us, whether it's good or bad. I do know that sometimes we go through things in our life. Yes, we do. But even as the Word of God let us know, that be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even for God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And the seed that we sow is the seed that we're going to reap. And one of the things I was going to say is that even in this life, the Word of God says, even as he has suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer. There are some things that we're going to go through as being people of God, as being worshipers, as being one that loves God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And then the last one is self-control. How much of self-control do you have? Are you self-controlled in what you do, what you say, how you control yourself, whether it's eating, speaking to someone, how you present yourself, the effects of what you say, things that you rationally speak out of your mouth. We have to have self-control. It's so many things that we can have self-control, so many things that it could be named under self-control. And one of the ones that I believe that we did not mention was temperance. And that's something that God wants us to be temperate in all things. And everything that we do, we should have that temperance, you know, not to overdo it, you know. We need to be able to, I would say, in all our ways, acknowledge him. And he said that he will direct our path. So when we look at the Word, when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, we look at the Word of God, it can help us to be better. When we began to study the Word, when we began to apply it to our lives, you may just be starting off, but yet the spiritual effect, you may not see it. It may not be evident immediately, but it's just like a seed. When you put it in the ground, it does not come up while you're looking at it. It takes time for it to grow. It takes time for that fruit to be developed. It takes time for you to grow in Christ, to be mature in the things of Christ. People are like good actors. it's like they are people who are, they're like good actors. You ever seen people that are acting, they have a role that they're playing. When they go to church, they're one way. When they go come home, they're another. When they're on their job, they're one way. Well, people need to examine themselves. God don't want us to be play acting our relationship and the way that we live, but we need to be real. We need to be sincere in our walk with Christ. We shouldn't be those pretenders pretending to live right. Pretending. I remember Joyce Myers, you know, this woman that I really thank God for, because, you know, God brought Joyce Myers from a mighty long way. Matter of fact, when she first came to Jacksonville, Florida, I think it was the first time, some friends and I was down in the center where she and others were going to be speaking. I don't believe at that time that she was had been pre-scheduled originally to be a part of this great event. But I believe that was something that happened, and they called her in. She wasn't from Jacksonville. I think she was from Bentley, another state, another city. But apparently God opened that door for her that she could be able to be used of God. And she was not known. Nobody didn't really know her. But at the same time, she came in, and God made a difference in her life. And she, many times, she is so real because of her life experience. I remember how she said how when she got had gifted her, and he did, he had gifted her with the gift of teaching, and she had the gift, she had that anointing to do that. Even before I believe that she was really was saved and really completely Holy Ghost filled. And she said how she used to, you know, the anointing was on her. She had that. God had anointed her to be able to teach. And she touched many people's lives. And she was saying how she used to have on her short shorts, how she used to have a cigarette blowing and puffing in the people in their surrounding, their face, whether it was in the room. But apparently they didn't leave because they wanted to hear what she was saying, because the anointing that was upon her life. And so, therefore, she was not acting. This is her way that she was. But God began to work on her, and God began to do things in Joyce Myers that made the difference in other people's lives. And when you're sincere, whether or not you have matured or not, God calls that maturity to increase side of you. So what we want you to know today, that there is a difference in one life if we can just line up with the word of God. What we want to do today is for you to think some of the things that we have said on this broadcast. Our topic today was the effects of spiritual problems. And we will continually talk about spiritual problems on next week as we give you greater insight of what God is saying to you. Please tell a neighbor, call a friend, let them know that Dr. Mary Smith McCoy will be broadcasting on next week, and that we invite tune in and to hear what we have been and what God has given us about our topic of the effects of spiritual problems. Let's go before the throne of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we just thank you for what you have done and what you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, dear God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And God, examine our heart. Examine us, God, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Touch our hearts, Lord God, that we will be in line with your word. And God, that we will not live a hypocritical life, that we won't be phonies, Lord. God, that we will be spiritually strong. And God, that acting part in us will not prevail. But Lord, that we will be led by the Spirit of the Most High God. Lord, we ask you to bless those in our radio audience. God, keep them ever before you. Cause the word of God to be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their pathway. God, if they're not saved, God, we pray, God, that you will save, deliver, and to make them free. For your word says, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Lord, we thank you, God, for them having the patience, having the time, and, Father, the enthusiasm to listen to the Crossroad broadcast. Lord, bless them, keep them ever before you. Lord, if there are some that are not saved, God, you said if we confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised them from the dead, the word of God says that we shall be saved. So, Lord, I pray even now that you will save them to the uttermost, and God, that they can live this life so that they can live again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening to Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we want you to tune in on next week at this very same time to the Crossroad broadcast as we again go through the effects of spiritual problems as we continually to talk about this important discussion. May God bless and keep you is our prayer. May the Lord's face shine upon you today and now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.